Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Amen. Amen. So you have your Bibles. Let's go to the scriptures. We're going to start in 2 Samuel, 23, verse 13. My message tonight is titled, Mighty Warriors and Mighty Worship. We are called to be servants. We're called to serve our King with an authority, with a boldness. We're never called to run away from problems. We're called to face them and to conquer them in the name of Jesus. And I have news for you. He is the God that will help you do it. He will not help you run away. He will help you in facing the problems or facing the enemies. And he will be there with you until you get the victory. So if you're going through a difficult time right now, if you're going through some sort of problem, maybe in your home, maybe in your business, maybe in ministry, just open your heart to the Word of God and let's learn from the Word of God, because I have learned that when we use the Word, we win. When we use the Word, we win. Say it with me.
When we use the Word, we win.
Use it and you'll be a winner. 2 Samuel 23, verse 13. And three of the 30 shift men went down at harvest time to David in the cave of Adullam. And a troop of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said longingly, Oh, that someone will give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem by the gate. And the three mighty men broke through the army of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem by the gate and brought it to David, but he will not drink it, but pour it out to the Lord. Now, David is king. He's in the secret place. Outside, there's a mighty enemy that hates Israel, that hates the people of God, and that hates King David. Remember that David was the one who fought Goliath, and he cut his head, and he went after the Philistines, and they run away like they were afraid of David after he did what he did. So he was very famous among the Philistines, and he was in a hiding place. Outside there were bad people, you know, and the Philistines represent the spirit of intimidation, the spirit of fear, the spirit that you're going to lose everything, that you're going to die, that it's not worth it. It's that spirit that wants to paralyze you through fear and intimidation. And all of a sudden, David has a desire in his heart. He was remembering when he was drinking the good water in Bethlehem, and it was a whisper from his heart. It was not a command. It was not an order. The scripture says that he says longingly. Longingly means a personal desire. These three were close enough to listen to the heart of the king. And they were in the right place. You know, our Lord Jesus is a mighty King. And worship is not telling Jesus to come to us. Worship is going to where he's at. And these three, they knew where the King was. You know, sometimes you will find Jesus in the place and nobody will imagine that he will be there. The King was not in the palace. He was in the cave called Adullam. Adullam is a city, is a place in Judah, within the kingdom of Judah. And Adullam means when the people get together to do justice. It represents an agreement. It represents a congregation that come together and do what they're supposed to do because they know that it's the right thing to do. So he was hiding there, and he had the right people next to him, and all of a sudden he decided to express his feelings, you know, and they listened to them. And it amazed me that they went and they got the water. You need to see that. You need to understand that Bethlehem is 13 miles from Adullam. It's a long way, and between the two places, it's full of the enemies that represents fear, that represents intimidation. And these people were not affected by the fear. They were not affected by intimidation because they were affected by the whisper of the heart of the king. And when you're close to where Jesus is, there's an anointing that will come to you, that you will start doing things that you had never done before, that you might see your enemy making sounds or telling you things to paralyze you, but you don't care, because it's so important to be connected to the heart of the king. As time progresses, as you grow in the ministry, as the anointing coming to your life, as the promises of God start coming into your kids, you will have voices that will try to paralyze you. And it's so important that you will say, Jesus, tell me, where are you? Because wherever you are is where I want to be. I don't care if you're in a cave. I don't care if you're in Judah. I don't care if you have to go through the enemy's camp. I need you, Jesus, and wherever you are is where I want to be. So it amazes me that the three of them heard the whisper of the heart of David, and immediately they agree to go get the water. It doesn't say that they had a meeting. Okay, let's talk about it. What do you think? No. Immediately they say, this is what the king wants. I'm going to do it. Are you coming? Yes. The three of them went and got the water. Their passion was to please the king. And it amazes me, the names, you know, how the Bible is so perfect. The name Adullam, which means justice of the people. It means their testimony. You know, my brother-in-law, which I love so and I respect so much, he's been in the army for over 25 years. And he has gone into missions. Sometimes he's out in Africa or in the Middle East for months. And when he comes back, he starts telling me all the stories. And one of the things that I hear him repeating constantly is, you know, Frank, serving our country is serving others. It's not serving self. Serving our country is you want the best for the mission, you want the best for the common good, you want the best for the nation. It's not thinking about what is the best for me. It's thinking is what do I have to do in order to others receive the benefit. And you know, that's worship. Worship is, what do I have to do in order for you, Jesus, receive the benefit? What can I do in my life? What can I do in my business? What can I do in my family? What can I do in the ministry where I'm serving? What can I do to others in order for you, Lord Jesus, to be exalted? In order for you to see how good you are. Being a servant, being a worshiper, being a Christian, it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus. And let me tell you a secret. The second you start putting Jesus first, something will happen in your life. All of a sudden, you're going to see a grace, an anointing, a power, a boldness, a prosperity. All of a sudden, you see angels defending you. All of a sudden, you see that your prayers are being answered. There is power when we put Jesus first in our life. Now, I love this scripture because it talks about a secret place. Nobody knew that the king was there. Only these three mighty warriors. And I want to know who they were. And I want to tell you who they are. in the Bible, what the Bible says about them. And this is all in the same chapter, in 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Before I go there, there are desires in the heart of Jesus today that he wants to share with his church. If the church is close enough to listen to his heart, he will share his desires with his church. There is a passion in the heart of Jesus for the lost. There is a passion in the heart of Jesus for unity among his people. There is a passion in the heart of Jesus for your family to prosper, for healing the wounded, for restoring the people who, for restoring those who need restoration. There is a passion in the heart of Jesus for nations to come together under his command and under his word, so he can bless them, so he can prosper them. There is a passion in the heart of Jesus for the unborn babies. So if we, the church, will come to the secret place, we will hear the desire of his heart. And it's up to you and me to go wherever we have to go and get the water that he's longing for. It's up to you and me, it's up to the church to make Jesus' dreams a reality. Because he wants your family healed. He wants your family together. He wants every single member of your family saved by the grace of the cross. He does. He wants to prosper you. He wants to see you whole. You see, Jesus didn't die to judge you. Jesus died to bless you, to save you, and to embrace you like a father embraces children. There's no desire in the heart of our Savior. And it's time for us to come together in that secret place. You know, worship is not about music. Worship is not about having an experience in church. Worship is about going one-on-one with Jesus and open our ears, spiritual ears, says, what is it that you want? Worship is all about him. It's not about us. These three mighty warriors, they had mighty worship. And I believe that this church is about to go into a dispensation of grace, into a dispensation of worship, into an anointing to convince even more the lost, but into an anointing to convince those who are here, who are Christian, to become mighty warriors for the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want any more the evangelical experience. I don't want that formula 1 + 2 + 3 and let's go to church. I want to see the glory of God in my life. I want to see the glory of God in my church. I want to see the glory of God in my children. So therefore, Jesus, where are you? Wherever you are is exactly what I want to be, because I need to listen to your whisper. Because I want to worship you in the spirit and truth. Now, these three guys, you see, David was a mighty, mighty warrior. The scripture says that there were a lot of warriors close to him. It talks about 30 of them that they were the principals ones. But out of those 30, these three were the top three. The first one was called Joab. That was the main leader, Joab. He was one of the three in the cave. And the scripture says that he went against 800 men. And then he alone slain the 800 at one time. Now think about that. Not even in the movies. Not even Spider-Man and Batman and Superman. 800 against one. And the Bible says that Joab defeated 800 at one time. That's why he was the chief. But if you think about it, that's something crazy. Sometimes Sometimes pleasing God is crazy. Sometimes to obey the whisper of the heart of Jesus for you is crazy. Sometimes people are not going to understand you. Sometimes you're going to do things that makes no sense. Or things that you have never done before. Sometimes you're going to face situations and enemies that all the odds will be against you. But remember this guy. This guy was 800 against one, and he won. The victory was given to him, not to the 800. Because I'm here to tell you that the God that you worship in this house, he's a mighty helper. And he will not leave you alone. Doesn't matter who will come against you. I'm telling you right now, God is right next to you. And when you do your part, he will do his. Whatever you cannot do, he will do. But whatever you can do, he will not do. So he's waiting for you to do your part. And once you finish doing what you're supposed to do, then he will take over and he will do whatever you could not do. Are you here? So God will do what we cannot do. But we must do whatever we can. So this guy said, there's 800 coming against me. This is a mighty enemy. They have a reputation of fear, but I have God Almighty with me, and I'm going to do my part. I'm not going to expect the Lord to back me up, and I'm going to expect the Lord to give me the victory. I may only kill one or two or three or four, but whatever I cannot reach, I know that God will reach it for me, because I trust that he's a father, that he will not abandon me no matter what. Joseph represents the believer that knows that God is with him. God is with you. You don't have to be perfect for God to be with you. You don't have to have a perfect past for God to be with you. All you need is the blood of the Lamb in you for God to be with you. That is enough. So God will fight for you when you fight for yourself. The second guy was Eleazar. As a matter of fact, Eleazar, the name Eleazar means what God is my helper. And the scripture says that, again, against the same enemy, the Philistines, he said that his hand was weary and clunk to the sword. And the Lord brought a great deliverance and victory that day. And it says that when the Lord gave him the victory, it says that the men of Israel who have left him alone to fight against 300 returned after the spoil. Now, Eleazar, he was alone. And I'm here to tell you there's a lot of situations that you're going to have to face alone. There's a lot of situations that not even the pastor is going to be there for you. Your Christian brothers are not going to be there for you. Maybe your family is not going to be there for you. Or maybe they'll be there present, but they will not deeply understand the situation that you're going through. A lot of battles we will face alone. But remember that God is there. God is your helper. So his hand was clung to the sword. We all know that the sword is the word of the living God, right? Eleazar is all about perseverance. He held on to the word. He didn't let it go. That was his secret. His secret was not that he was strong or he was fast. His secret was that he was determined to hold on to the word, to hold on to the sword. Use the word. Use the word. It works. The word will defeat your enemies. The word will bring deliverance. The word will bring victory. And the word will bring the spoil. The spoil, that word represents goods that came to you because you fought for it. represents the blessing that came because you were determined for the blessing. Because you believe in the promise, because you believe in the word, because you believe in the Bible principle, and you stuck to the Bible principle, and then the spoil came, the goods came, the blessing came. That's what spoil means. You know, only one was the one who stood in the word, but only one was enough to produce the blessing in the land. And you might be doing this alone in your home. Maybe your spouse doesn't understand. Maybe your parents don't understand it. But all it takes is one to persevere in the word. And you will see the victory in your house. And you will see the victory in your life. Persevere in the word. Now, there was a third guy. The third guy out of the three that were in the cave of Adullam. His name was Shammah. And this guy was very special because this guy was standing in abundance. He was standing in abundance. And look what it says in 2 Samuel 23:11. Next to Eleazar was Shammah, son of Agi and the Horonite. The Philistines were gathered at Lehi on a piece of ground full of lentils. Full of lentils. And the Israelites fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord brought a great victory. So this guy stood in the midst of the ground. And it says that ground was a prosperous ground. That it was full of lentils. Lentils represent the provision of God, the blessings of God, the prosperity of God. All that God has given you, you must defend it. All that God has given you, you must defend it. Your children, they need you to be a mighty warrior. Your husband, woman, how many women are here? Your husband needs you to be a mighty warrior. Husband, your wife needs you to be a mighty warrior. Everything that represents the blessings of God in your life, you need to take a stand and defend it. Again, he was alone. Again, the crowd left him. The Israelites left him. But only took one to stand in faith and defend him for the blessing to stay at the house, to stay in the people of God. Do not follow the crowd. Do not follow the voice of the crowd. Follow the voice of God. Loyalty is so important. This guy was loyal to the voice of God. Let me tell you, the enemy speaks too. You will hear the voice of the enemy many, many times. But right before the voice of the enemy will come to you, the voice of your father will advise you on what to do. Especially if you come to church. Especially if you read the Bible. Especially if you seek counsel, biblical counsel. The voice of God will always be first in your heart, will come first to you, and then the voice of the enemy. Now, if you say, Pastor, but to me the voice of the enemy comes always first. So I want to tell you that you need to start reading the Bible. You need to start coming to church. You need to start writing notes. When the pastor is preaching, you need to connect to the flow of the Holy Spirit. You need to connect to the Word of God. And that way, the voice of God will be in you first, always. But once the voice of God will come to you, I guarantee you that the voice of the enemy will also come. And the enemy will persevere speaking to you. But the Lord will speak to you maybe once or twice, and out of grace he might remind you several times. But you know, we need to be loyal to the voice of God. We need to be loyal, even if the crowd is bringing a different message. It might be that the crowd is brothers and sisters from the church, but they might go, they might come to you with the voice of the enemy. You need to be careful. Once you connect to the voice of God, don't let go. This guy is all about loyalty. It's about loyalty. Loyalty is important. Victories are for people who do not abandon the voice of God, the blessing of God, and the place where the Lord has placed them. Victories are for those people. It reminds me of a mighty woman with the issue of blood. Let me tell you, the Bible is full of stories of mighty women, full of stories. And the woman with the issue of blood, she spent all her money. She was a wealthy woman. She was a wealthy person. And the Bible says that she spent all her money in doctors and nothing happened. And one day she made a decision to fight for her blessing. So she went after Jesus. And Jesus didn't even know what was going on. I think obviously he knew, but on purpose he ignored what was going on to honor her mighty faith. So she went through the crowd. Remember that the culture was that no woman should go near to a man, nor much less a spiritual leader. And much less if the woman was bleeding, it was not appropriate. It was prohibited. But she defined the culture. She defined the culture. She defined the crowd, and she went after her blessing. And she went with such determination that when she touched the back of Jesus, the clothes of Jesus in the back, Jesus stopped and asked, "Who touched me?" Because power came out of me. It reminds me of the woman I was reading the other day when Jesus died in the cross and his body was placed in the tomb. And he says that in the third day, a group of women went to the store. They purchased oil and perfume, and they were on their way to anoint Jesus after 3 days. But I was asking the Bible, how could this be? He's already dead 3 days, and they want to pursue and keeping anointing this dead body. How can this be? The tomb is closed. They will not be able to go in, and the guard, the Roman army is there guarding it. How can this be? You know, these are mighty worshipers. They didn't care if they were not getting an answer back from the dead body. They were not into what they can get from them. They were just determined to go and one more time worship the body where their Savior was once. That kind of determination, that kind of loyalty will produce great victories. When they got there, he was already risen. When they got there, Jesus send an angel to remove the rock. Jesus didn't need the rock to be removed in order for him to come out. He didn't need that. But he sent an angel, remove the rock, so when they come, they can see the empty tomb. You know, you will experience great victories in your life when you're determined to worship Jesus. When you're determined to honor the word, and when you proclaim loyalty to the blessings of God in your life. Sometimes we don't appreciate enough the fact that we're Christian. Let me tell you, I travel to a lot of nations, and it is such an honor Such a privilege to know Jesus. There are millions and millions and millions of people do not have the blessing that you have, that don't have the ability to connect to the Word of God. I'm going to end up with three things and write it down. Number one, mighty warriors like you, say amen.
Amen.
Mighty warriors like you,
amen,
do not listen to the voice of the enemy.
Amen.
And there's some of you that are here tonight that are confused, that some people have been telling you things in fear, out of intimidation. And I'm here to tell you to disconnect from that voice. I'm here to tell you that even if you made a mistake, because of your love for Jesus, He will turn it around and He will make it good for you. Fear will leave you nowhere. Intimidation will leave you nowhere. Sometimes it's good to make a mistake. You know, when I was in, before I was in a pastor, I was a business for many years, over 20 years. And I say this with humbleness. I was very good in business. I hardly made any mistakes. Most of my deals, they were very good deals, and my business were good. I mean, they were very good. And then all of a sudden, the Lord changed my heart. I lost the passion for business. And without me knowing, I was pastoring a church. Still today, I don't know how that happened. But one thing I'm telling you, I have made more mistakes being a pastor, 10 times more mistakes being a pastor in ministry than when I was a secular businessman. So I was asking one day the Lord, what has it happened to me, Lord? I remember, I was focused and I made the right decisions and nothing like this happened to me before, you know. And now that I'm a pastor, now that everybody's looking at me and I wanted to have a good testimony, I made these mistakes and I didn't get no answer until my wife spoke to me in the name of the Lord. And she said, you know why, Frank? Because the Lord wants you to be humble. The Lord doesn't want you perfect. The Lord allows you to make mistakes because it's not going to be in your strength. It's going to be in His grace. So the Lord is teaching you about grace. So don't be afraid to make a mistake. And when I'm talking about mistake, I'm not talking about committing sin. I'm talking about sometimes the voice of the enemy will paralyze you on opening a business, on committing to the church, on serving the Lord, or start applying principles in your life. Sometimes the voice of the enemy will come from people close to you that will say, you're becoming a fanatic. Stop doing this, stop doing that. You're becoming a religious fanatic. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. God has an amazing life for you if you do it His way. God has an amazing life for you if you do it His way. God has an amazing life for you if you do it His way. God has an amazing life for you if you do it His way. Do not listen to the voice of the enemy. Number two, mighty warriors, do not listen to the voice of brothers and sisters that leave. When I was reading this scripture, all three of them fought alone. The army of the Israelites left them. They said, they're too famous, they're too strong, there's too many of them, let's go. And they run away. Do not listen to the voice of those that they run away from their problems. That's not the right counsel to receive. You must choose the people who are going to speak into your life. You must choose the right people, the right Christian who will speak into your life. Because God doesn't want you to be a follower of losers. God wants you to be a follower of winners. And number three, mighty warriors listen to other mighty warriors. These three men wished they were amazing what they did. They would listen to the heart of the king. They would listen to the voice of their king. Now, David was their king. David was a mighty warrior. And David gave mighty worship to Jesus. Listen to the right people. Listen to your pastor. Listen to your leaders. Listen to the authority figures that God placed in your life. Listen to those people who will speak to you according to the scripture. Do not listen to the world. The world are a bunch of losers. Nobody wins in the world. It's all fake, make believe. It takes a disciple of Jesus to be a winner. Don't listen to the world. Listen to other mighty warriors. Connect to the voice of the King. Our King Jesus is alive. Our King Jesus is a champion. He has never lost a battle. Never. And he will never abandon a battle. And when you take a position to face your fears, to face your enemies, God will come next to you and says, I'm right here with you. Fight. Fight that I'll be here helping you. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the wisdom. I'll give you everything you got. And when you don't have anything else in you, I will step you on behind my back and I will fight for you. Our King Jesus is a champion and he loves you. And he has plans with your life. And he's a king. He was born as a lamb, as an offering, as a servant. But he was raised as a king, almighty for eternity. That's the one who is with you. And that's the one who has a secret place for you. And that's the one who wants to speak his most intimate desires of his heart to you. Give Jesus a chance always, and you will never lose a battle.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.